Let me share the screen with you this morning. We've been looking at a couple of weeks now, I think, in Mark 8, and looking at some statements that Jesus made to the disciples and their response, and just going through some different aspects of this. It is up online for people if they want to catch up on some things that they did not hear. But let's jump back into where we have been in Mark 8 from verse 14. It says, "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have no bread.'" And we've talked about the fact that these guys got into reasoning, totally misunderstood what Jesus was talking about. So we've spent time looking at that. But today I want to start looking at what Jesus actually was saying, rather than what the disciples thought he was saying and why they misunderstood. Let's have a look at Jesus' words. He says, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." So what is the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod? What is it? And why does the Lord want us to take heed of it and beware of it? We're going to start with the first one, which is the leaven of the Pharisees. And we're going to go through and have a look at what that looked like with Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees. But first of all, let's have a look at the whole area of leaven. If you have made bread, you have used leaven. We usually refer to it as yeast or sourdough starter in some places if you're into making sourdough. But we're going to have a look first at Galatians 5. And it says this: "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is." So we have here the whole concept of leaven coming in again and bringing in the perspective of the power of leaven. So I want us to have a look at what leaven speaks of and why it's powerful and why Jesus uses this analogy. Because the people in those days, they would not have gone to the supermarket to pick up the bread. The bread would have been handmade. So he was using the concept of leaven or yeast to speak to the people and bring an understanding that most of us will understand nowadays. Most of us are familiar with the whole concept of yeast and how yeast works. But let's have a look at what this speaks of. Basically, leaven speaks of influence. And it starts small. You only add a little bit of yeast, but it enlarges and it impacts everything. It says in verse 9, the little leaven leavens the whole lump. It affects everything. It's small, it can go unnoticed at first, but its impact will be on everything. Secondly, it influences our faith, our lifestyle, and our obedience. So the impact or influence of this leaven, it really impacts our life in all areas, especially our relationship with the Lord and how we live that out and whether we are following him and obeying him. Last, it is a persuasion or a pattern of thought that infiltrates the mind. Notice that it says in verse 8, this persuasion. So we're talking about something that's going to impact the mind, but it affects everything. And that often happens, like even in depression, you get people who start getting depressed and that, and then they get to the point where you're dealing with a spirit of heaviness. What our mind agrees with, we empower. So even though this infiltrates the mind, it actually opens us to the demonic influences. So let's come and have a look at Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees and what we can pick up about this leaven of the Pharisees, how it operated in the time when Jesus was interacting with the Pharisees, and how we can apply that to our lives today. So we're going to go back to Mark. We've been in Mark 8. We're going to go back to Mark 7. So Mark 7, verse 1 starts with, "Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem." Characteristics of the leaven of the Pharisees. Number one, it seeks consensus. The Pharisees and the scribes came together. And there's this real consensus and a recognition of the power of agreement. And the leaven of the Pharisees is such that it is always wanting you to agree. It has a real group think about it. Oh, well, we think. And you really see this with the Pharisees. You don't often see them alone. Nicodemus was the exception. And you see him come away from the Pharisees and he comes to Jesus at night. But normally when Jesus is interacting with the Pharisees, he's interacting with a group. Second thing that you see with it is the superior attitude and religious pride. So these Pharisees came from Jerusalem. Now Jesus was ministering actually in a Gentile area. And the Pharisees, they loved to be in Jerusalem. Jesus accused them of loving to have, you know, the place of prominence at the festivals and gatherings. So there's this real superior attitude that you feel from this influence. And as I go through, you may even end up thinking about people that you've been in association with, that you feel this leaven operating through. If that happens, remember that demonic spirits will operate through people, but people are never our enemy. And Jesus is warning us when he says, take heed and beware of this leaven. It can slip in. It's like that little bit of yeast. It can start small, but it will impact. And so as we go through the characteristics here, I encourage you to think about it and go, yeah, I've met that. And beware of it. Verse 2 says, "Now when they saw some of the disciples eat bread defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault." Oh, when you meet the spirit, that's what you encounter. It is very critical and judgmental. They're always finding something wrong with something. And even if you fix that something, something else will be wrong. It's a spirit that is never satisfied. It's very hard to appease. It's like, you're not going to do enough to satisfy it. And if you've met it, you'll probably be nodding your head about now. It's like, yeah, tried to please it. It doesn't work. Then in verse 5, then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" Quite an indictment against the Pharisees. And I've got there in the notes, they're controlled by religious concepts and traditions. They seek conformity rather than transformation. Again, it's that groupthink. It's not relationship with God. It's not, you know, well, God's showing you that and that revelation, and that's awesome. It's no, you need to think like we think. And it highlights the external rather than the heart. It's like you need to obey this rule and that rule and do this and do that. So Jesus talks about, you know, the tradition of the elders. Well, actually, it's the Pharisees that mention that. When you meet the Spirit, it's like it does not want to listen to the Word of God. It holds to what it thinks and what it believes, and it's very, very hard to break through that. In fact, we'll see that in the next verse. Jesus says, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Then down in verse 13, "making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down." It's handed down. This is the way you must do it. This is the way. And you can't deviate from that. It's very controlling. And I've got there in the notes, exalts the teachings of men above the word of God. I'm sure Ray won't mind me sharing this, and he may even jump in since he's right beside me here. But earlier this year, we had a guy from the Mormon Church come along to Pursuit, and Ray spent time talking with him afterwards, and that because he was searching, and Ray started to talk to him about Jesus being the Son of God. And Ray spent time going through scripture after scripture after scripture with this guy. But the religious teaching from the Mormon Church made it so, even though it was in black and white in front of him, even though it was the word of God, even though he was hungry for the things of God, he was impacted by the leaven of the Pharisees, and he could not see. And he kept on going back to the teachings of the Mormon Church rather than being able to receive the word of God. And if you've had anything to do with people who are involved in, you know, things like the Mormon Church, and that, you will have encountered the leaven of the Pharisees. You can show them the word, you can present it to them, but they are holding on to the commandments of men and the tradition of the elders, and they're blind to what the word of God says. It's rather sad, really, but it is at that point that you start to realize very quickly that you are actually dealing with a spirit that is behind this. And that's why Jesus says, take heed, beware. You don't want to be caught up in this. Then back into Mark 8, where we have been the last couple of weeks. "Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him." Again, I've got in your notes, contentious. They began to dispute. They just wanted to argue. "And always demanding more." This in Mark 8 is just after Jesus has fed the 5,000 men Plus, of course, we have the woman and children. And they're demanding a sign from heaven. It's like, that's an amazing sign. How are you going to feed that many people with 7 loaves of bread? And they come to Jesus saying, we want a sign. It's like they've just had one, but they're not satisfied. And again, this leaven of the Pharisees, it's not satisfied. You're not going to appease it. And if you're dealing with people operating under it, they will want more, you'll give them more, and it won't be enough. It's the whole thing of never enough. Finally, verse 12, but he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And again, I've got in the notes there, it's a wrong spirit that leaves you feeling grieved. Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. Often there's a heaviness that you'll feel with it. It's just uncomfortable. There's a contention. You will feel the spirit because it clashes with the spirit of God. And you see that. You see that clash between Jesus and the Pharisees. And ultimately, the Pharisees were the ones who judged Jesus and sent him to the Romans to be crucified. So it is not a spirit that we want to play around with, but it is a spirit that is still alive and well. And Jesus contended with it, with the Pharisees, and Paul dealt with it too in the early church. So we're going to jump into Colossians 2, and you'll find that Paul addresses, this whole contrary thinking, this religious thinking. And the leaven of Pharisees is a religious spirit. It says here in Colossians 2, verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. The word empty deceit, it's empty. It promises much but delivers nothing. And deceit is the holding back of the truth or the covering up of it or misrepresenting it. And this leaven of the Pharisees, it's philosophy, it's basic principles, it's worldly based, it comes to seek and control and to keep us from the things of God. In the Passion Translation, it puts verse 8 this way, beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments of human logic, going round and round and round, human logic. For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindsets of this world system and not the anointed truths of the Anointed One. If you've met this spirit, then you will understand what I'm saying. And Jesus says, beware, take heed. Don't let a little bit of the human reasoning and principles of this world and empty deceit creep into your thinking, because it's like yeast. It's just little, but it will impact the whole. And I love how this passage in Colossians finishes off, verse 9. For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form, and our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. The leaven of the Pharisees will try and tell you that you have to add something more to your faith, that you've got to do certain things, that you've got to keep certain regulations, that you've got to follow certain practices to be acceptable to God. But Jesus is the complete fullness of deity, and we are complete in him. You don't have to add anything to your walk with God apart from your faith in God, and that he is enough, because he surely is.